This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's a big Bears news day. We are so happy that you have chosen the Spiegel and Holmes show to be the place that you are hanging out with other Bears fans. And maybe you're even doing a self high five today, considering the moves that have been made. If you are just joining us, if you've been at work all day, you'd be like, wait, what? When I left this morning, the Bears were a team that weren't really doing a lot. Well, bleep has changed since then.
Yes, it has.
Drew Dahlman.
That was first. Tell people.
Drew Dahlman.
You were doing that. I interrupted.
Free agent center.
I interrupt again. Tell people, Lawrence. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lawrence. You got this?
And then after that,
Speeds, what else happened? No. Tell them about Drew Dahlman.
You guys want me to go through these guys?
No.
Yes, okay.
I do.
The Bears started their day. I'm the update guy in this studio.
Thank God you're here.
Look,
it's chaos.
They signed Drew Dahlman. They got Drew Dahlman.
Yeah, they did.
They started the day getting Drew Dahlman, signing the center to a 3-year, $42 million deal. The Bears then got a defensive end. They signed Dio Odengbo. Got it. They also signed defensive tackle Grady Jarrett. So that is what the Bears have done today. Seriously, with the signing the center, I mean, I was 50-50 on whether or not they would do that. They made the splash with Joe Tooney, to a lesser degree, Jonah Jackson, and then they went out and got the exact center they needed. So it's perfect. The one I wanted to ask you guys about is Odengbo, because this is a NFL scouting projection on this guy is what this is. They are counting on him. Ryan Poles and his scouts have identified him to be a guy that they think can do better than what he has already done. 3 sacks in 17 games last year. The best he has done in his 4-year career was 8 sacks in 2023. So this, to me, is a projection signing. He will be the defensive end opposite of Montez Sweat. I do believe that he will be the guy slotted in considering what they are paying him. But that one is interesting to me.
NFL guy told me this when I asked about Grady Jarrett. This person, unprompted, shifted. And they told me a little bit about Grady Jarrett and then wanted to talk about Dio and said, the guy that will surprise you is Dio. Just starting to come into his own. Ballard didn't want to lose him. Really explosive athlete.
Good stuff.
And then JJ was on the show. JJ Stankovic was on the show today, and he was saying, don't look at this as the Colts didn't want Dio anymore. That they are trying to bolster up their back four, and they did that. They signed Treverius Ward today to a 3-year deal. So that he said that he is a player that is on the rise. So hopefully he does reach his full potential here as a Bear.
This is the backdrop of all the moves today and over the weekend and everything, is like the team building perspective of the teams involved and where their salary cap sits, usually how much they're paying their quarterback, all of those kind of things. Odengbo, 6'5", 280, with long arms, 35-plus-inch arms. And the thought, like JJ shared, and now I'm reading other places, that he fits the profile of a powerful big athlete in the Dennis Allen scheme as a DN. Like when they had Marcus Davenport and Cam Jordan down there, and got a lot of production out of those guys. So Odengbo could fit in that way. I don't think it precludes them from either another free agent edge rusher on a 1-year deal and or drafting a young edge rusher to go across from Montez Sweat. Do you agree, Groats?
I totally agree with that. I mean, it's going to be really interesting now. If we are looking ahead to the draft and that 10th overall pick, yeah, you could still do damage along the offensive line right there if you want, or the defensive line. And the guy that I've been saying all along, and considering the moves that the Bears have made, looks maybe even more realistic, is Mason Graham. How would that look? Like, don't stop now on the offensive line. Wow. Don't stop on the defensive line.
I just saw a flash on NFL Network. They did their top 10 mock of Lance Zierlein, who's a really I really like the way that he breaks down players.
Yep.
And I read a breakdown that he did last week, and Spiegs was like, yo, like, let's get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has them projected, the Bears taking at 10,
Mason Graham,
Gray Zabel,
that high.
Add him, add another one on the list of people that are real high on Gray Zabel.
I don't, is that before the free agent signing, though? Is that before Dahlman?
I mean, it just crossed, so.
Man.
It would sound silly for anybody to get on these microphones or anybody listening and say, yeah, they're good. They're good.
Yeah,
the offensive line is good.
Yeah, keep going.
But
I mean, I'm down with Will Campbell, of course, or like another, like a left tackle, but I don't think Zabel can play left tackle.
Maybe and
I think
Darnell Wright can.
Well, I don't like that, Lawrence. I'm not down with moving Darnell Wright to left tackle.
Are you down with the sickness?
No, but I've always been down with OPP. You know that.
But they were here this weekend.
Oh,
that's Layla was at the concert.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sick.
I mean, how about the fact, Groats, that all of these acquisitions, the two guards in trade, the center Dahlman, the DT Jarrett, and the DN Odengbo, they're all trenches guys, man. Mm-hmm. It's all linemen. Like, I mean, we've been here before when it's like, oh, look, they got a tight end. Oh, yay. Or like, oh, look, they got a wide receiver. Oh, Keenan Allen, I'm excited. Oh, look, they added a kicker. They had whatever. Like, all these things. Every year for our entire Bears existence, the conversation is, when are they going to invest in the offensive line, the defensive line? That's where you – I mean, here they are, like, actually spending money in the trenches.
Because they thought they could get away without doing it last year, and things felt pretty good. I fell for it. A lot of people fell for it. Fell for it. I fell for Keenan Allen and DJ Moore being together and Roma Dunze and the continually developing Cole Kmet. I even liked the idea of Gerald Everett last year. I mean, everything felt
– We liked all of it.
We liked all of it.
Offensive line was overrated.
We made excuse. Right. We're like, I remember talking to people like from Pro Football Focus saying, look, if you get an average offensive line, that's good. It's hard to have an offense. So it was almost like the Bears were buying into some sort of structure like that. They figured it out.
They thought Caleb was going to get rid of the ball quick, and which is not his strength as a rookie at all.
That's such a great point.
That might be something that as his career goes on.
He has to.
He profiles that way. But to expect him to walk into this season being the guy that he was at USC with all of the problems that you had as a team, I thought was folly by the Bears. I thought they didn't set him up to succeed. This feels more like, hey, Caleb, we figured out that there's a lot of issues here, and we're going to help solve some of them. You also have to get better.
Yep.
But we are going to make your life easier with the moves that we're making.
Now it makes me wonder, what will Ben Johnson and Declan Doyle and JT Barrett, too, and if you don't know, Declan Doyle is the offense coordinator, JT Barrett is the quarterback's coach. I feel like we need to give their titles.
I think that's fair.
Probably for about the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson said the right thing, that they will completely build this offense around the quarterback and what Caleb Williams is capable of doing. Does this mean that Ben Johnson's offense for Caleb Williams will again try to have him be a pocket quarterback, or does that mean that they will actually get Caleb Williams on the run and ditch a lot of the other stuff that they were trying to do last year with Waldron?
It means that they're going to actually do what polls said they were going to do last year. You know, remember, like, we got excited at the beginning of camp, I know I did, when he said, and when it's time, be the special. But only when it's time. Like, he wanted him to rely on the talent around him, wanted him to, like, you know, be smart and be under control, and when it's time, be the special. And then the only way they could really get things done during the year was with him being the special.
Right.
This time they will run the ball. He will rely on the talent around him. It'll be O-line talent, and it'll be also quick hitters to that wide receiver talent as well, and more tight ends coming in. And then hopefully he'll only have to be the special every once in a while.
We saw it last year that Caleb Williams badly wanted to be a pocket quarterback, to the point where he was taking like he would just sit there in the pocket and allow himself to become overcome by two or three guys coming in to sack him. So now, especially with that interior with Tooney and Jackson and now Dahlman, you can do different things, and it's going to be up to less excuses for Caleb Williams going into this year, and let's see if it allows him to do the things that Lord knows he wants to do, and of course everybody else wants to see him do.
Mark Grody is here in studio. He's going to be on the air at 6 o'clock. He is not on the clock. He is just holding it down, talking Bears at 6 o'clock, like we are doing here on Spiegel and Holmes. Seeing them be this aggressive, I'm happy. Like, this feels like a good day for the Bears as an organization. How much influence do you think Ben Johnson has had since becoming this team's head coach?
Man, I mean, I'd like to say or think that he's had some influence, Lawrence, but honestly, it was so obvious what the Bears needed to do. And maybe it was Ben Johnson that told them it's possible, that said, when he was talking about Carolina at the combine, maybe that was him talking to Ryan Poles.
Saying, hey, we can make changes on the offensive line and be ready and up and running immediately if we do things right.
They did exactly what he said they could do at the combine, which is pretty amazing when you talk about things that actually are said and then are translated. Ben Johnson said it's possible for the Bears to get three new offensive linemen, and they did. So, in other words, I think that this is probably one of those years that I would allow Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, I would allow them to get away with saying this was definitely a project in which we all worked together on. Now, going forward, I do believe that as time goes on, as Ben Johnson gets used to what's going on and gets more respect and more power, that he will have a say. But I think this was just so obvious that I think that both Poles and Ben Johnson were probably in on it together.
They also re-signed a special teamer.
Tavarius Moore. Yes, and he did something last year. I think it was an onside kick, I want to say, that he either recovered. Something happened. I was literally just okay. I just recorded the podcast, and I thought in my head, he did something, and I forgot to look it up on my way from the podcast.
Yeah, against the Vikings, Grody.
Yeah, oh, it was against the Vikings?
Oh, okay.
And he recovered an onside kick, yes?
Oh, and gave them a chance to tie the game in overtime.
And then they lost it on a field goal in overtime to the mighty Minnesota
Vikings.
Great
call. So there it is.
There you go.
So there's a special teamer produced there. Also, Josh Blackwell back. I'm a fan of Josh Blackwell.
Huge. You talk about a guy that has bought. He reminds me a little bit of Sherrick McManus, like a guy who just really, Sherrick McManus, former Bears special teamer, Northwestern guy, reminds me of a guy, or is a guy, just from my conversations with him. He really likes being a special teams dude.
Yeah, like Rasheed Davis, like Lawrence's
like
buddy Rasheed Davis.
Amen. I mean, there's been probably about a hand. Corey
Graham.
Corey Graham. Great all-pro specialty. Josh Blackwell is one of those guys.
And also, Blackwell, when he had to fill in at nickel, was just fine.
Good enough, right? And, like, everybody, like, what I want to see with the Bears on offense and defense is everybody find their places. You don't need Josh Blackwell playing 7 or 8 games during the season. But 1 or 2 games, that's fine. But this kind of lines him back up. But he is a terrific core special teamer. So he's one of those guys you should be happy to have back on the Bears.
Corey Graham, man.
Yeah.
That guy went out and had himself a career after he left the Bears.
Yeah, Baltimore, right?
Ravens?
Baltimore, yeah. And then Buffalo and Philly.
You know, it's funny. I remember...
Got himself 2 Super Bowls.
I think of him actually often because Mac and I, when we were doing the show and it was Lovey's defense here, we'd say, like, Lovey doesn't blitz much. The occasional Corey Graham, you know? And then we started referring to him as that. Hey, look, it's the occasional Corey Graham. Because every once in a while, Lovey would send him on a nickel blitz or something like that. He'd be like, oh, man, why doesn't he do that more often? Because Lovey didn't very much. He wanted to get pressure with the front four.
Would you like to feel old?
Too late.
This is the old show.
Corey Graham he stopped playing in 2018.
Okay. Does he have a son that's getting drafted?
He's only 39.
Oh, man.
He stopped playing 7 years ago.
Wow.
And he's only 39.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to Corey Graham.
Guys like that usually play as long as they can. Like the special teamers that are holding on, hanging in there.
Get your 2 Super Bowls and a Pro Bowl, and you're out.
And speaking of guys that play as long as they can and guys making a lot of money, I don't know why this reminded me. But you showed me that video of Justin Fields. Where is that? Is he in Dubai?
He's in Dubai, and they're celebrating his $30 million guaranteed from the Jets. I probably would have taken less to stay with the Steelers if I were him.
It's not going
to
go well with the Jets. We all know that,
It's really not, and that's why I would have done that. But I get it, and maybe he's totally got his priorities straight.
Well, I mean,
he's like, I'll just be an NFL guy. And I'll make a whole lot of money.
Well,
and
sure.
I'll travel the world.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo just signed to be the backup again for the Rams at like $11 million to just hang around in Los Angeles and be a backup. Justin's got a whole life. He's going to be an MVP at the bank. And he's still got a chance, obviously, to play and be an effective starter. But $30 million guaranteed, that's generational wealth for 100%. That man and his descendants.
How about
It's like him getting franchise tagged. Like how do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it'd been 1 year of the tag.
Yeah, like and he didn't get the big quarterback contract that he was dreaming of, but now he just got $30 million guaranteed.
So now he's over $50 million for career earnings.
That's
congratulations. To Justin Fields.
Good dude.
Yeah. Joke's on all of us. Khalil Mack. 1 year, $18 million with the Chargers. What was all that Twitter stuff the Bears were doing, man?
See, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Playing games?
They were toying with my emotions.
Oh, here you go.
Toying.
You fell for it. 100%. Line and sinker.
I wasn't alone.
No, you
weren't. A lot of people did.
Just for the nostalgia. Look, I looked at Khalil Mack as a guy that would have been a nice, well, like, you've got everybody in place. You have somebody opposite of Montez Sweat, and maybe the Bears do. And then you add Khalil Mack, not as the guy opposite of Montez Sweat. He did have the 17 sack season, last year, but the 4 years previous, single-digit sack.
Had 6 in one game that season, too.
That's right. Oh, that's such a great point, too.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that helped. So I think he's more of a 6-7 sack Yannick Ngakoue type at this point.
Mark Rohde will be on at 6 o'clock tonight. His show is going to be excellent. Who you got on it?
It's going to be me, and then I'm going to have Chris Emma come down the hallway.
Let's go.
Doing WBB. He's got 3 That guy's got his own war room. Do you guys see the Chris Emma war room down there? He's got like 3 computers set up. I don't know what he's doing, but he's got 3 computers set up.
It really looks
good. He's the person who took down Twitter today. When we come back,
he is.
Olin Krutz is going to join us to talk about Drew Dalman.
It's time.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the...
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gore. The farther you get away from the football, the farther you get away from football.
Olin Krutz.
You get in any kind of trouble now, you just tell them you know Kalooks.
Who is Kalooks and do you know him?
I don't know Kalooks.
14-year NFL veteran.
Max Unger, who won a Super Bowl.
I was just going to say, you don't need to have me on, man. You got your boy Olin in your backyard. You guys have probably the best one ever in Olin that you get to talk to all the time, which is pretty cool.
6-time Pro Bowler and 4-time NFL All-Pro.
In my opinion, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, there's no doubt about that in my mind. There was a 4 or 5 years, 6 years in a row that he was the best in the league at his position. So that's the guy you want to look up to.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
The former Bears safety, Mike Brown.
We are old and young, and it mixed well, like a pudding. You got the young dudes that are coming in, and the old dudes came in, and mixed it up in the pudding, and it became the 2001 season.
Delicious.
All right, what's your favorite pudding? What's number one on the pudding choices from Mike Brown?
Tapioca.
What kind of pudding did Roosevelt, Colvin, and Warwick Holman like the best?
Oh, I think they would like the chocolate and the vanilla mix.
Yeah. Would Olin even eat pudding?
Olin Krutz would get a spoonful of pudding and throw it at somebody.
And that person would be damaged by a spoonful of pudding.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he'd get knocked out by a spoon just getting thrown at you with pudding.
That's how hard Olin would throw pudding.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Mike Brown with some incredible stories. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. He's Spiegel. I'm Holmes. We're here with you until 6 o'clock. The Bears have had a huge day, and they got a center. So there's a center on our team here at The Score, and he's one of the best that's ever done it, just like Max Unger said. So why not talk with Olin Krutz? He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Oh, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? How's it going, man? The weather is beautiful here in Illinois, and the Bears are building both sides of their lines. Seems like it's kind of like we're in Bizarro World right now.
Dude, thought about what you said last week with us. The farther away you get from the football, the farther away you get from football. It left a mark on us, and we've thought about it, and here we are today, Olin. You said it, Bizarro World, man. Three free agents today after the two guard acquisitions. They have finally figured out you have to use resources on the O-line and the D-line. I wonder why they're doing this, finally.
Well, it's just when you looked at their team last year, that's where they struggled, right? Especially on, well, on the defense side of the ball, when Billings went down, Nate Davis didn't work out. Tevin Jenkins had his usual rash of injuries, and Coleman Shelton, very consistent, right? I think he might be signing with the Rams soon, but very consistent, but not dominant by any means. So they go out and they get themselves Tooney, who everyone has a lot of respect for. Jonah Jackson, who played great football in Detroit and had a bad year last year. And hopefully he can pick up for us what he was doing with Ben Johnson. And then they went and got the number one center on the market, Drew Dahlman. Very consistent, good technique, good outside zone football player, has played with young quarterbacks, can get guys lined up, can get the call out, can do the job that he needs to do in the prime of his football career, guys, at 26. Really just coming into his own as a football player. Hopefully he keeps ascending under Coach Roshar, right? And then you had Jared with Billings. Can you imagine those two guys healthy together in the middle of the defensive line and the young football player from the Colts who pops on film a lot? Big man, Montez Sweat. The two lines right now, when you line them up, obviously left tackle, still want to know what's going on with Braxton Jones. Got to see him improve. But the Bears have really improved themselves again here in the offseason, though, on both their lines.
Obviously, O-line is not easy. Playing center is not easy. But if you're bringing Drew Dahlman in and you're saying, I'm gifting you Joe Tooney to your right, and it got Jonah Jackson to your left, or vice versa on that. It's nice to know if you're a center that you've got that type of help and that you're that strong guard to guard.
Yeah, and by the way, Darnell Wright, who you can leave out there one-on-one, right? So you can get double teams in the middle now. So you are strong, and Braxton Jones has played some good football when healthy. So hopefully he comes back healthy, takes another step in his game. But like you're saying, Lawrence, nothing better than a guy like Tooney next to you. Once you learn what he wants, once you learn the calls, once you learn how he sets, you know where he's going to be every time, right? And then Jonah Jackson there, there in Detroit, playing between two good football players in Decker and Ragnow. He would get a lot of movement in the run game, big, strong, physical guard. So I like where they're going with their offensive line. By that, I mean, guys, I like to say the offensive line is like a basketball team. You got to get yourself a point guard, a power forward, a small forward. You got to get guys who challenge guys on every position, somebody on a second level, somebody who could dominate on the line of scrimmage, somebody who doesn't matter what position they are. They just have to be different type of players, and then they all got to come together, and that's Roshar, and that's Ben Johnson's job to bring all these guys together, let them work at a high level. But now you have guys, when you had assets in that room, you have guys who you know can compete at the highest level in the NFL.
Man, I don't think I've heard you talk about that before, of the five-pack being like a basketball team in terms of the different skill sets. Like, and I don't know enough about Dahlman to know. Like, the Eagles used to use Jason Kelce like to pull, you know, and some teams will use centers to pull in the run game. I don't know if that's a Dahlman strength, but it sounds like from what you're saying, if it's not him, they could do it with somebody else, could do it with one of the guards, depending on what the skill sets are. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is accurate. Speaks. Look, when I played, I always wanted like Reuben Brown next to me, right? Rex Tucker, Chris Valerio, Roberto Garza, big, strong guys. Because I wasn't an overly big center, but I could do the other things. I could get to the second level. I could stand somebody up, take their leverage away, and then let the road grader arrive, right? Like, stand a guy up, look at him, and just smile because he's about to get wiped out. Because here comes big Reuben Brown, right? To hit that hip, put him on his back. So I like. That's what we talk about, our basketball team. Like, imagine Drew Dahlman will get to that nose guard quick, stand him up, and guess who's coming? Jonah Jackson coming down the pipe to blow you up. So that's what you need now. Dahlman is an outside zone guy, so I haven't watched all his film yet. Haven't seen him do a lot of pulling, but I'm sure he can. I'm sure he can pull if he needs to pull. He looks like that kind of athletic center of me, a guy who can get on a second level. So it'll be fun to watch these guys, and then you got Tooney, right? The old grizzle vet gets guys in order, tells guys to walk through, to pay attention, tells guys in meetings, hey, pay attention here, focus. This is what winners do. This is how you win football games. These are the details. You remember how much time we heard that last year from the Chicago Bears? We let the details go. Here's an older guy who understands what the details, what it takes to win football games. Man, I tell you what, I know it's the offseason. We do this every year, and we've ended up disappointed the last couple of years. But for a guy who's been asking for assets in the lines, throw guys there, put guys in the middle of your line. You got to win football games in the trenches. I think the Eagles showed that this year. The Chicago Bears are starting to go in that direction where, look, we're putting as much as possible in these two rooms, and let's see how it shakes out.
Hey, Olin, it's such a treat to get to talk to you on a day like this, and I know there are listeners out there who are tuning in with Bears excitement, and they want to learn stuff. We all want to learn stuff. Outside zone, you said. Explain to people, because I think Ben Johnson does run a lot of outside zone, but maybe that's not all he runs. But so are we going to, like, is Drew Dahlman going to be able to do other stuff? But tell people about outside zone versus inside zone, and for an offensive line
outside
perspective.
Outside zone, I think the Cincinnati Bengals first ran it with Icky Woods, right, down there in Cincinnati, and Anthony Munoz, and all it is stretch. They used to call it stretch down there in Cincinnati. And then Alex Gibbs made it famous down there with the Denver Broncos. Tom Nalen was their center. Reminds me a lot of Drew Dahlman, guys. Tom Nalen, great football player for the Denver Broncos. Outside zone specialist. I remember my first play ever trying to run outside zone in the NFL. Guess what happened? Mike Wells picked me up 3 feet in the air and dunked me on my head. So I went and found Nalen film, and I studied it. And I said, okay, what does this guy do to get guys blocked? Because what I did in college doesn't work. And Nalen reminds me a lot of Dahlman. And just the way of, like, you're trying to stretch the defense, speed, so the back is aiming point is usually the outside leg of the tight end. And he's got to run there. You're trying to stretch the defense, and then make one cut and come downhill. And Dahlman does a nice job of either reaching. He reaches the nose, but I mean, he cuts him off. Hard to do without film. Hard to do without a grease board. But he cuts the nose off. Gives the running back that crease, or he runs him. We say, okay, if you can't cut him off, run him out of bounds. But you're not trying to move him backwards. You're just trying to stretch the defense off and cut him off somewhere.
Olin, you and Patrick have both said on these airwaves during our pre- and post-game shows that you've been disappointed with the level of professionalism that we've seen from the Bears over the last couple of years, but last year in particular. It feels like, to me, that when you bring in Grady Jarrett and you bring in Joe Tooney, I don't have to worry anymore about there being C's on guys' shirts anymore. Because guys that have actually been out here and done it at a high level are now in those rooms with guys. Like, there's not a lot of, I don't have to listen to that guy nonsense that can go on. We're talking about a guy in Tooney that has won a whole bunch of Super Bowls and been an All-Pro, and Grady Jarrett, too. Like, I feel like this is a big step up in that little piece of football that people sometimes don't think about.
Yeah, just the understanding. I talk a lot about when Ted Washington came in and how much he taught me about being a leader and what winning takes and the way to approach every week and the way to approach games. Remember, he did a lot of winning with the Buffalo Bills, and he knew how to approach games. I remember we won a game. I think it was a 2001 season that you guys were just talking about. We started 1-3. We finally won a game, and we were in there. We hadn't won much around here, and we were jumping around like we won the Super Bowl. And Ted told us that I can't use the words he actually used on the radio, but he told us in colorful words, basically be quiet and act like you meant to win the game. Like this is something you do every week in the NFL. It's about winning football games. And like you just talked about, Lawrence, these kind of guys you add to your team. And I think, like, that's why, I mean, some would say at his age and even with his film, why would you go get an older guy like Tooney, right? I think to the Bears, it's invaluable to have a guy like that walk into your building. I think you're paying a little more money for what he's going to bring up with what you're talking about, Lawrence, right? When you're talking about, I think he's going to be 33 next year during the season. Some of his film looks like that. Look, I look like 33 when I played at 33, right? So what you bring to a football team are other things. You bring the standard. You bring the culture. You try to bring young guys along. You teach them how to be a pro. Yes, those guys, Grady Jarrett, he's going in his 10th year. Good football player, gets off the ball incredibly fast. He is a handful when playing at a high level, and with Billings too in there. Teaching these young guys, put them out front. Make them the leaders of your football team. Let guys watch them and follow them.
Yeah, man, I knew you'd be excited about the idea of Jarrett and Billings being there together, two OGs, to really show them how to do it and play together. What about Jervon Dexter? Move him outside, play him in a rotation, play him along with those guys. It might feel like it's outside, but maybe it's not really outside in the Dennis Allen defense, trying to figure out how that's all going to work out.
Yeah, it's a great question, right? And it's something that immediately, you know, it's great, right? We got our rose colored glasses on here. We're very happy about all these signings. But in the background is you had to do all this because some guys haven't worked out. Some guys haven't taken that step that you've needed them to take. Some guys you signed, it didn't work. So now Javon Dexter, though, Adam and the Mitch put older guys around him. Montez Sweat, you know, Montez Sweat's his height, got his arm length, can show him how to beat guys. Grady Jarrett can show you what a motor looks like. It never stops with that guy, man. He's always after you. He's always getting after people on every play, show you what a motor looks like, try to build that kind of culture. Billings back. So Javon Dexter, to me, what it looks like is, like we talked about, guys, you put assets in the room on the lines and you let it shake up. Right, and you play your best players, and you let everybody in that building know that it has not been good enough. So we are bringing guys here, and we're going to have competition, and we're going to challenge you. And if you can't take a step, or if our competition bugs you, well, then maybe this place isn't for you.
So, it's to keep us from getting too high on our own supply here. What are the things that...
It's pretty good supply, though, Lawrence.
It is, but
it's
also...
It's green, it's shiny, it's leafy.
It also was last offseason and the offseason before that. What are the things that you hope the Bears continue to keep in mind as they keep going with free agency and get themselves ready for the draft?
Oh, you know me, Lawrence, man. Howie Roseman said it, right? What'd he say? You could never have enough. You can never have enough O linemen and D linemen. I don't want people to forget that, right? I don't want them to say, okay, we got these guys. Why don't we move on to the running back? Why don't we get the wide receiver? No. If that lineman is a number one guy on your board, when you get to your pick, take him. Take them and put them in a room with all these guys, right? Look, the Philadelphia, you guys mentioned Jason Kelsey. Everybody will say Hall of Fame center, right? Hall of Fame center. Cam Jurgens stepped in because they drafted him when they had Kelsey. And guess what they did? Won the Super Bowl. I still haven't seen a quarterback sneak get stopped, right? Jason Kelsey was this guy where could a quarterback sneak? He could pull, lead teams to Super Bowls, win Super Bowls. They kept putting guys in the room, right? They had Fletcher Cox. They took Carter, right? They had Jordan Davis. They still took Carter. They just keep filling those positions up, and they go after people.
I love that.
So even if it's Gray Zabel, we're seeing him like that. I don't know if that dude can play tackle, but he can certainly play center. Like, I feel like interior line is off the board at 10.
I do. I mean, like, listen, Joe Tooney's 33. Why would you feel that way? Right? Who's going to play there next year? Yeah. Right? Who's going to play there the year after that? Mm-hmm. 2 years from now, who's going to be developed? Who's going to be ready to go? That's the problem you got into before. That's why you got in the problem before, because you said, man, we're good here. Let's move on, right? Let's move on. Let's sign 90 receivers, right? And give them all captain badges, right? So let's just, it's just if the guys, like, get three picks in the top 50. Why not? Why not keep filling them up?
Olin, what's the message that Caleb Williams should take from what the Bears have done over the last couple of weeks?
They're buying into you. Right, that's the message. They're buying into you, buy back into them. Engross yourself in Ben Johnson's offense, man. Go there, erase all the noise. Don't listen to anybody else. Let this guy coach you, be the leader for that team. They believe in you. They're spending all this money to protect you, right? He's a shorter quarterback, so they built the middle of the line like Drew Brees, right? Build the middle of the line, keep the front up. They say in New Orleans that middle was more important, right? Keeping the guys on the line of scrimmage because they had a shorter quarterback, right? If you got a guy like Herbert in San Diego, he doesn't have to drop. He's like 6'9". He just get the ball out, right? But when you have a shorter quarterback, the middle of your line has to be strong. It's almost more important than the outside of your line. So the message to him, Lawrence, is we got you everything you need, man. Now it's you. Now buy in. Now execute the offense and the details, and eventually you want this guy to say, hey Joe Tooney, what was Tom Brady like, right? What was Patrick Mahomes like? What were they like every day? I remember when I went down to New Orleans, the first play of walkthrough, Lawrence and Spiegs, and I did my block and walkthrough, and I stopped, and Drew Brees went through every progression, and then he ran a sprint out drill, right? He never stopped. He did that every time. He went through it like the walkthrough play went on for 40 seconds. And I thought to myself, that's why this guy is great.
That's awesome. Olin, you heard your old buddy Mike Brown at the beginning. Could you hurt somebody with a spoonful of pudding? You know, like
no chance. I heard some of that interview too. I heard somebody mention FBI range, and we don't want to talk about that. I think that was Speaks, but we won't talk about that either.
No. Okay. Yeah. Damn it. I hate that you heard that.
Busted, Speaks. Busted, man. Come on, man. No, Mike Brown, guys, right? I mean, that no one played the game harder than Mike Brown, man. That passion he played football with, the passion he lives with. Man, that guy, I could talk to him about football and hang out with him anytime. That guy, hell of a football player, probably the best pure football player I've ever played with.
All right, I'll be careful. I'll be more careful with my gun range reference.
No, I think you said, oh, did I say that?
I've been trying to tell you, Speaks.
I know, you tell me. I don't listen sometimes.
It is
it's trouble.
It is
Oh, don't we have to take a break?
Oh, as always, man, we love you. Thanks so much for breaking it down. We knew that you were the perfect person to get on the horn today, man, and we appreciate you.
Speedy Lawrence, thanks, man. You guys have a good day.
You too, Olin.
That's man. Olin Kreutz.
Tempting fate every time I do that.
I'm
like asking for a pudding beatdown.
He's always listening.
Dude, when he's training guys to beat the crap out of each other at his gym, what do you think's on in the background?
Yeah.
It's not Mele Kalikimaka.
It might be.
I got to get some courage up and go to the gym, man.
Oh, to Olin's gym?
He's invited me.
Bring him some pudding.
But I'm small, so like...
That's all right.
But there's a bunch of like off NFL like offensive linemen. Like, I'm a normal-sized person, but... You go there.
You want me to go with you? Want me to go with you, Lance?
Well, I mean, with your training with the mighty Sequoias,
that's right.
You'll probably be more welcomed in that room than I would.
I don't know. Maybe not now.
I don't think so.
Doesn't sound like it, actually.
I wouldn't go if I were you.
Yeah, no, I think I should stay away. Noted.
But I think at some point this summer I should go to the gym.
Do it, and then you can report back.
If I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be the thing. Because I've been watching a lot of, like...
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu stuff and protect yourself stuff. And I'm like, I should go.
Maybe see Braxton Jones there working on a bull rush again.
I hope he's okay. You know, Braxton Jones dealing with a lot of injuries. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the Bears kept doing what Olin's talking about and getting more offensive line.
There's a lot there that we can process, including tomorrow when we keep rolling on this stuff.
Shane, what are we doing next? Because we didn't even, the show is done. Like, what are we doing?
Well, we don't have a ton of time. With the 25 guests, we don't really have a ton of time for fun in the 40.
Let's put a bow on it.
All right. Put a bow on this damn thing next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast?
Yeah.
Oh, The Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
There's a lot going on here.
There is a ton that's going on here. Oh, man. What a ride. What a ride today, man.
It's crazy.
These are the types of days where you really love doing this job and being with people, being with the Bears fan on a day like this where it just – and then you add in what's happening outside right now.
That's the thing.
Oh, Speaks, you want to feel really good?
Yes.
Guess what?
I do.
There will not be a sunset before 6 p.m. until October.
Man, I love that. Ruben noticed it like last night. He's like, Dad, it's almost whatever time it was. Like, it's late and the sun is still out. The sun is still out. I'm like, yeah, it's what happens. That's what I like. He was very excited by the effect of the spring forward. This segment, by the way, is brought to you by Window Nation. For all your window needs, visit windownation.com.
Can I give you one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what the temp is right now?
61?
62 degrees when you walk out of the building.
And that's on the lakefront. I bet my friends in Joliet.
We don't have any friends in Joliet.
I do.
No, stop. No, when you move to afternoons, you're not allowed to have friends in Joliet.
What's wrong with Joliet?
We've had that rule for a long time.
I didn't know that you were so anti-Joliet.
No, it's a Danny thing.
Lawrence got the Joliet listeners grandfathered in from his contract, so we're allowed to have that, actually.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's
sorry,
just
sorry,
language
sorry.
In there. You got to read through the fine
sometimes
print.
Sometimes you got to look. I forgot the fine print.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to look and, you know, you got to.
It's a Greg Salk thing.
It's a long-standing thing with Danny because they handed him a jackhammer once and he couldn't hold it up. He couldn't hold up the jackhammer. And so it's just like.
That's not what he is here for.
What? He's not here anymore. Yeah, my bad. That's not necessary. I didn't need to do that. I didn't need to take a shot at somebody. And I.
Yeah, you
this
did.
This is how you got in trouble with Olin.
Yeah. And then Charles Tillman came and told you, and he was crying.
Olin, man.
He's always listening.
You got to be careful out there. As soon as it went to the Mike Brown thing in the open, I looked at you, Tanny, and I shook my head. I thought it was going to come back around to me. I thought you were going to out me.
Yeah, you know I wouldn't do you like that because you do it to yourself, so I don't need to say you because I know Owen's out here listening.
That's what really hurts.
You truly do, but it's fine, and it's a lot of fun. Man, this was a day, and the day on the score is going to continue, by the way. Mark Grody is coming up at 6 o'clock, so make sure you stick around. He's got a lot of cool stuff on his show as he talks Bears with you. Thanks so much for the love and support you show this show. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow at 2. For Shane, for Tanny, for my partner Speaks, I'm Lawrence A. Stay out of trouble, you idiots. See you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on The Score.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.